Hello, everyone. Let's get y'all in here. It's Q&A day. So we are going to, I'm going to teach a little bit about how to use the four N's with your urges. I'm going to talk about, do a few announcements because this is Urges 2.0 month, which means if you're brand new to No BS, we every month after you've finished the No BS weight loss course, you start dropping into a cycle. And the cycle is every month we study something in terms of weight loss. We have lots of self-study courses and we pick one of our programs. Typically, I reshoot a few things. I update them every year. Some are created from just scratch. We've had several this year that are brand new to our courses. And then we do them as a group. So you watch the videos, you use the workbook that goes along with it. And then we have calls all month long where we focus. So today's call is going to be about the four N's and how to use them with your urges. And I want to tackle something specifically today, which is like the relationship that you have with your urges. So I want you to think about just this whole concept. You have thoughts that create the feeling of an urge to overeat. So if you think about the think, feel, do cycle, there is a thought like, I waited too long to eat, or I just need some chips. I've had a bad day. A few won't hurt. Oh, this tastes so good. I can't stop. This is the only break I ever get. I deserve it. Those are all common thoughts that we all have that generate the feeling of an urge or like the desire to eat. And then what we do is we go get the food. So I just want you to understand how that works. There's also where we all have thoughts about our urges. And your thoughts about your urges, like about your excuses, about like your thoughts about what it's like to have one, your thoughts about your capacity to handle one. You have a whole nother set of thinking that goes on. And today I want to talk about that thinking because what I want you to see is that if you have an anxious, irritating, annoyed, scared, fearful, and doubtful set of thinking about your urges, then anytime you experience one, you're not only experiencing the urge, but you're tapping on this inner insecurity of, oh my God, you're in danger. You are now facing that thing you keep saying holds you back in your weight loss. It's too much for you to handle. You're now experiencing that thing you suck at. That's how our brain works. So that's why some people can have nowadays, I don't think urges are scary. I don't think they're too much. I don't think a lot about them. I'm just like, they're normal. The fuck am I supposed to be having? Like if I'm at the end of the day and I know there's cookies in the kitchen, it would be an urge. They do taste good. They are on the counter. But I don't have the other doo-doo that goes along with it. So when I don't have a lot of doo-doo thoughts about my urge, guess what? When I have an urge, I don't get like a bonus shot of adrenaline, panic, and anxiety on top. What a lot of y'all are actually experiencing is you're experiencing the thoughts you have about your urges, and you're not even experiencing the urge yet. It's just like, I want to eat. And now what you're experiencing is like, oh God, here it comes. I'm never going to be able to say no. This is terrible. You're fixing to fuck your weight loss up. All of that is what goes on underneath. And when that's happening underneath, you have just made urges 400 times harder to sit through. The urge itself, it's not that big a deal. And next month, when I release the brand new version of No BS modules 1 and 2, in module 2, I'm going to really explain how a feeling travels through your body, what it really is. And we are going to break down just the science of how things are happening so that you can let go a lot of the thinking you have around feelings like urges. All right, so let me make a few announcements and then I will take the urge and we will put it through the four ends. Let me find. No, how I always pull this up and then somehow I always lose it on my screen. It might be that I only have 3,000 windows open at once. All right. Number one, if you didn't hear, this month is Urges 2.0. If you will go to your self-study resources, you will see the course Urges 2.0. It is very good for anyone who is like, I have finished an OBS. I've been working on the basics. And when I really look at what's going on for me, I would lose weight better, easier, and faster if I could gain some authority over the times I want to overeat. That's one of my biggest issues, this urge to want to eat what I want in the moment, the urge to eat more than enough. If that's you, Urges 2.0 is a great course to take after you finish an OBS or at any time. I think it's a great course for y'all to take about once a quarter because the majority of you need to work on your urges all the time. If I am 15 years in, still working on my urges, I'm probably a guessing that ye who's 3 months, 1 year, 2 years in, probably still needs to work on their urges instead of sitting around thinking, something's wrong with me. I ain't got this yet. Oh my God, I was doing so good. And look, my old nemesis are back. I must be broken. Something must be wrong. That is more of those busted doo-doo thoughts that you have about shit. Watch thy brain. It is a pile of steaming shit most of the time. You will hear me say this a bunch inside of No BS. When we re-release modules 1 and 2, which is your brain is a book of lies. Its job isn't to tell you the truth. Its job is to tell you anything that it's ever thought before or anything it thinks it needs to tell you to keep you from doing something you think is scary, that you think's dangerous, or that you think's hard. Its job is to con you out of that shit. It is a con man. So don't sit there and just believe every fucking thing that you think. And I don't care how much evidence you got. But, oh, Corinne, you didn't see my 20 discovery worksheets I did in August. I don't give a damn if you did 200 worksheets in August. That doesn't mean you can't handle urges. You know what it means? I did 200 worksheets in August. If you want to be sitting there fanning the flames and gaslighting yourself like a maniac that you're a failure, then tell me that that's terrible. Otherwise, quit doing that shit to yourself. Just like, here's what's normal. It's normal to think shit about this, but here's the facts. I did 200 worksheets in the month of August for my overeats. My next best thought is, I got a lot of good information about what to do next month. I bet there's a pattern. I bet I can learn something from that. You ain't gonna learn dick when you're sitting around telling me some sad ass story about how broken you are. So we want to make sure that we're always paying attention. So everybody needs to be working on urges. This is not just for the broken. This is for anybody. If you got a tongue in your mouth, you probably have urges. All right. We have a brand, if you don't know, in Urges 2.0, we have released our brand new version of the Discovery Worksheet. You are free to keep using the one that we currently have, but I wanted to update it with the four ends, streamline it, and make it very easy for you to figure out a win. There are two main focuses of that new Discovery Worksheet. Number one, is to put it through the four ends, which is so much easier than anything we've done in the past. 100 times easier. I notice I'm thinking this, it's normal because of this. The facts are, this is the neutralized part. My next best thought or action. It takes you from beating yourself up to putting yourself in a position to win the next time. I'm going to win now because I'm not going to be an asshole to myself, and I'm going to win in the future because I'm going to be thinking about how I can handle things differently next time. The other important part of the new discovery worksheet is that at the bottom, I ask you a really important question about, like, when you aren't judging yourself, like, what do you basically open yourself up to? I think it's important that this is why I really encourage you to do discovery worksheets as often as possible. It changes your mindset about how you talk to yourself. It's one of the keys to releasing so much judgment and shame around how we think and how we act in life, which is, it's normal for all of us to judge and shame ourselves. I mean, that's just, the good Lord wouldn't have given us judgment and shame on the inside if he didn't mean for us to use it somehow. Problem is, most of us are overusing it instead of letting it be an indicator to learn how to talk differently to ourselves. I like to think about when I am judging myself, when I am in shame over something, I like to say, I want this feeling because I want to ask myself some important questions. Did I act out of alignment with my core values? That's why I would want judgment and shame. They're the warning sign. It's like if you're driving your car, you know, like the newer cars, if you take your eyes off the road, they're like, our Subaru does that. If you ain't looking straight, if you're over here like, oh, look, it's a baby deer. Oh, gosh, how beautiful. It yells at you because it's like, bitch, look forward. Judgment and shame are kind of the same thing. They're like warning sign feelings that go off to say, like, first, let's check you're not running off your core values road. The next thing that shame and judgment does, it allows you to know when you're using those things in unwarranted circumstances. For example, you eat a sleeve of Oreos at 8 o'clock at night. Judgment and shame is not warranted. All you did was eat Oreos late at night. You don't need all that shit. It's not going to help you figure out, like, huh, I wonder what emotionally I need that I may not be giving myself either at night or throughout the day. Judgment and shame isn't needed. It alerts you that you're trying to solve the wrong problem. If you're having judgment and shame, you're typically trying to solve the problem of, like, I'm a douchebag. Something's wrong with me. What's wrong with me? Why can't I get this? Solving the wrong fucking problem. You eat a sleeve of Oreos. We don't want to be asking the questions of what the fuck's wrong with me. We want to be asking the question, is there something missing in my life to where Oreos feel like the viable option at night when I know I actually want to lose weight? What could be missing in my life? What could I not be giving myself? Is there self-talk that I, like, is my judgment and shame alerting me to the idea of, I don't cut myself a break? If I don't cut myself, I promise you this, if you don't cut yourself a break after overeating, I guarantee you, you're probably hard on yourself the rest of the day in the littlest of ways. You're probably sitting around at work, worried about what other people think, always on the edge. If you turn in work, you probably aren't sitting there going, I bet they're going to be fucking impressed. Hell, I'm impressed with me. It's just like when I create content for y'all. Here's what never happens. Oh, gosh. I don't know. This is probably the one where everyone leaves and they realize I stink at writing. I'm probably not doing it right. I'm just going to let them tell me. Like, I don't sit around and assume that. You know what I do? I finish a course. I almost always will message my team and be like, I can't wait for everybody to hear this. This is the best work that I have done. They're going to love this. Probably one of the reasons why I don't overeat at night, because I'm sitting around during the day, like, figuring out how to talk to myself so that at night I don't have to eat to get away from all of the stress and all of the anxiety I created for myself all day long in the littlest ways. You know how they say we all die by 1,000 paper cuts? That's what a lot of you are doing all day long. You're dying by 1,000 cuts. Those little moments that you don't say something nice to yourself. Just every single one of you, the next time you turn in some work to an employer, or the next time you do something for a friend, or the next time, like, you're doing something, I want you to listen to the moment when it's fixing to happen. Do you go to, oh, I wonder if they're even going to like it. I hope they don't hate it. I hope I didn't screw this up. If that's you, you are the person dying by 1,000 cuts every day. Do not be shocked that Oreos are the siren song by 8 p.m. You know what Oreos aren't doing? They're never sitting there going like, girl, eat me, even though you suck. They're always like, I'm so good. I'm so tasty. You need me. If Oreos can believe in themselves, so can we. All right. So I want you to use that new discovery worksheet. Let me find my, I don't know how I do this every single time, but I always get off my one page. And then also check your email. I believe it went out today. If you want to get coached on Sunday, here is, we're going to do Urge. It's Urge weekend. So on Sunday, here's what I'll be coaching on. I'm going to be coaching on after school and after work urges only. So everyone who signs up for coaching, if you have urges to eat after school, if you have urges to eat after work, we're looking at that overeating window that happens before dinner. We want to coach you on that. And then also make sure that if you're doing urges this month inside of No BS, when you have wins, when you have things you want to show everybody that you're overcoming, make sure that you use the hashtag busting urges inside the Facebook group so that we can find you and celebrate you. And then do not forget, on September the 25th, on Sunday, we are doing our big membership-wide full-day workshop. It's included in your membership, so all you got to do is show up. And if you can't be there that day or you can only watch part of it, please do not start panicking, sweating, typing in the chat, why do I can't be there? Replays, bitches, replays. I don't think there's ever been a word that has come out my mouth since we got Zoom and a website where we haven't given you the replay. You will always get your replays, and this will be just like everything else. But being there live is amazing. 9 a.m. Central to 3 p.m. Central. We are blasting it everywhere, all over the website. This workshop will also be made public, and they're going to have to pay to come. You do not. We will be sending all of you information. I think it's going to be starting sometime next week. So just watch your email. We will be sending out information for you to be able to send a link and send something to your friends who might want to participate. But we're not ready for people yet. So we're not going to send it out and give anybody any information about it until we're actually ready to take people. So, but our public will be here with you, and we are going to spend the day. It is going to be amazing. You're going to figure out your whys. We're going to work through excuses. We are going to dial in hunger and enough and all the bullshit that's coming up around that. We're doing future you stuff. We are doing a lot. You are going to be motivated for the fall by the end of the day with a little blueprint. All right. Let's see. We had 13 people join the Queen's Club this last week. Congratulations, everyone. And then we also had 4 people join the maintenance group this week who have finished all of their weight loss and are now working on the maintaining. All right. Let's see. First, the first thing we want to do with the four ends. Let me bring it up here. And if anybody asks, this dress is from Good American. Anytime I wear something cute, I know to just let y'all know exactly where it comes from so that I don't have to answer it when y'all email Help Scout or email us at customer support. But this is Good American. It's part of their new pink collection. So if you like it, you should get it now. One of the nice things about Good American is they have very inclusive sizing. So I believe they go up to a 5XL, if I'm not mistaken. They start at 00 all the way to 5XL. They have all kinds of stuff. So if you like, and if you love comfortable jeans, that's the place to go. I'm telling you, you can't touch their jeans. I have tried 1,000 pairs of jeans and now I only wear their jeans. Woo, thirsty. All right, first in. Here's what we want to do. We want to notice. Right now, what we want to do is we want to notice our thoughts about urges. This is not our thoughts that give us urges. So I just want it would be a thought that creates an urge. A thought about urges would be, y'all tell me in the chat, what is a common thought you have about urges? Like, I can't do it. They're too much. Not again. Anything else? I always give in. I have no control. I can't resist them. So some of you are giving me the feelings. So if you typed in a feeling like I get angry, powerless, what you want to do is you want to find the sentence that leads you to that. Some of you say like, this is the last one. No. That's a thought that you're probably having about that's going to create an urge. So let's make sure that we understand. I can't resist this. I want cookies is a thought that creates an urge for you. Right now, what we're looking at, what is your opinion about urges? And a lot of you, like, they're hard. They suck. They never end. So if you've had words like, if you feel hopeless, out of control and stuff, look for the thought that you have that creates that emotion. So let's go. No one will know is not an urge thought. That is a thought that you create. That's an excuse to eat. So that's a thought you'll have that will create an urge. So let me just show you before we get, let me just put this here. And of course, because I'm doing a call, someone is right outside tilling the flower beds today. I filmed on Monday. The second I started filming on Monday, someone fired up the lawnmower right underneath the window. It's like, it doesn't even matter when I try to do things, y'all. It's like, alert the lawnmowers and the landscapers. Corinne's microphone is on. We must be working. I'm glad it's not bothering y'all. There's literally a guy right outside my window looking at me right now. All right. So, some of you are giving me thoughts that create an urge. Like, one won't hurt. This won't matter. This tastes too good. And then some of you are giving me your thoughts about the urges, like, let's see. Let me find a good one. I'm in the danger zone. They hold me back. Let's do that one. That's a good one that we haven't done before. Urges, they hold me back. Okay. This is one of those thoughts that's going to always feel true. Because if I asked you, like, how, you'd be like, well, here, let me tell you all the reasons. You shouldn't overeat. How am I ever going to lose weight if I'm overeating? You'll have a lot of evidence to back this up. And when you can have a lot of evidence to back up a thought, it will always feel very true. But just because a thought feels true does not make it true. It's still an opinion that you have. So your current opinion about urges, they hold me back. That probably feels like shit. So if you think, for all of you, if you're thinking about your urges as they hold me back, they prevent my weight loss, tell me a feeling that you have generated from that? Anxiety, powerless, defeat, hopelessness, frustration. Exactly. This is why this thought must be put through the four ends. Because if you have a lot of story about urges, which I guarantee you, if you were to write for 5 minutes about what you think about urges, you probably wouldn't have anything powerful in there. You would have a lot of things that are very disempowering. And when it feels disempowering, that means that anytime an urge comes up, your body is going to go into fight or flight or freeze mode. It now senses these as danger because you have created a dangerous story around your urges. We don't need dangerous stories around urges. It's not useful. Trust me, y'all. If I thought your natural thoughts about urges that lead to hopelessness, frustration, failure, and overwhelm would work for you, I would let you keep them all day long. It'd be a lot easier to lose weight if we could just keep our shitty thoughts and lose weight. Problem is, if you keep your shitty thoughts, it's really hard to lose weight, if not impossible. Y'all have all been trying to do it. That's why every diet's failed you. It's because nobody taught you how to deal with your shitty ass thinking. So the next thing you want to do is you want to normalize. This step for your urges is very important because a lot of you not only like, here's my story about urges. They hold me back. But then you're like, shit, Corinne said we're not supposed to have shitty thoughts. I must be broken. I'm the only one that thinks that. You'll have extra shitty thoughts on top. Then you just feel even worse. So it's like, I've got the feeling of the urge. I got the hopelessness of they held me back. And then I've got the shame around the thinking that I have. And y'all wonder why you're like, I just don't understand, Corinne. Why do I keep eating at night? If this is what's going on, you have a dumpster fire every night that you're wondering why the building keeps coming down every night. Got to put out the dumpster fire. So the first thing that we do is we make sure we normalize it. Why? We want to come up with reasons why it would be normal that we think they hold me back. One of the most common reasons for almost every thought is always this. I've never. Or rarely changed how I think about it. If you ever get stuck with normalizing, this is almost always the one reason that everyone, it's almost a fact that this is the reason why so many of you struggle. When you first join No BS, the majority of people, when they first join, have never even been taught or told to question their thinking. We're taught to believe our thinking, but we're never taught to question it. We're not even taught to question. It's like most of us can't even get on the same page that they hold me back, that there would be any other way to think. It's like, but it's just true. If I'm giving into urges, how would I ever lose weight? And that's what we have to overcome. So if you get stuck in normalizing, the one thing to always remember is I've probably sat around and thought about why this is true, or not even thought that this was a thought so much that my brain has no other way to think about it. I haven't been actively every day redefining the relationship I'll have with my urges. I've only been considering that urges are bad. I've never considered they're useful. I've never considered they're part of the process. I've never considered there's other ways to think. I've never considered they're not as big a deal as I make them. I've never considered that the majority of people that lose all their weight experience lots of urges, eat over a lot of urges, and keep going. There's lots of things I haven't considered because I've held on to this thought. So this is why we do it all on paper. So then one other reason it might be normal they hold me back is in most traditional diets, when it comes to counting calories, you are taught that. So it would be normal to just think what you've been told in the past without ever questioning it. But what we don't want to do is go through our life learning one thing and be like, okay, that's it for the rest of my life. It's just like if someone was to tell you, one of the things that I was told as a child is that I'll always have big legs. Like it was just a fact. It was like our family, my mama said it. I remember one day we were sitting at my granny's house and she was looking at me and God love my mama. She was not trying to like no mama is sitting around thinking, huh, how can I say something to my adolescent child that they'll remember for the rest of their life and form their identity around it? No, she was just commenting like most women. She's like, yeah, you're probably always going to have big legs like your Aunt Becky. Big legs just run in on both sides of your family. I took that and ran with it for the rest of my life. I think about my big legs. I always describe people as like, my legs have always been my problem spot. That's the relationship for a long time I've had with legs. What I learned as I got older is, do I really want to believe I'll always have big legs like my Aunt Becky? I'll just always have big legs. Would I like to believe, because I don't have to believe they'll be smaller, but what I could believe is they don't matter as much as I've always made them out to be. The size of my legs are a small part of what make me special as a human. They're uninteresting to most people. They look amazing in good American jeans. If I'm not open to thinking about my legs in a new way, then here's what I do think. When I put on a pair of good American jeans, that they might look better if they were smaller. Had I not been thinking about this, all this talk about urges, I'm now having an urge for brownies. Why? Why not? You're saying it, Sandestin, like that's weird. If we're talking about urges, your brain would think about a food that it has urges for. That's called normal. Again, we just normalize it. We don't make it a big deal. It's like my brain in the middle of all this thought about nachos because that's my most common urge. It doesn't mean anything. It just means my brain heard the word urge. It was like, oh yeah, you almost always want nachos. All right. Neutralize is the next piece. So after we normalize, now we got to break it down to the facts. There's only one fact about urges. You have them. That's it. If you wanted to do some other facts, it's a hardwired part of our brain to get us to eat. We have them. And that's about it. You might even could say the fact is with an urge, this is a sentence about urges I think often or that I think the most. Even though that's not clearly a fact, that would at least be more factual. But they hold me back is not a fact. It's an opinion you have about urges. So when we think like the neutralized version, the factual version is brains all have urges. It's part of our human design to get us to procreate. It's part of our human design to get us to eat. It's just part of the way the brain is built. The last part, Next best thought or action. I've given you several. This is where we want to wiggle out of the thought just a little bit. This is where we want to be realistic and doable about our next thought. So you want to go to something like the next best thought for they hold me back is I'm working on that not being true anymore. They hold me back is only one way to think about it. If you want to go from there, put in the chat thoughts that you could be having about urges that I've thrown out or that you have on your own. For me, I like to just tell myself they're not nearly as big a deal as I make them out to be. I say yes to some. I say no to some. A lot of you think I can't say no. I guarantee you that there are times you have an urge to overeat that you do say no. Let's say that you are a secret eater. That's where you eat all your stuff. That stuff often is also available when other people are around. And when other people are around, you often want it, but you tell yourself like, oh no, I only eat that in secret. You just happen to have a rule. You have some rule that you've created that allows you in that moment to be a hard no, to turn the option off, which means that if you want to stop eating in secret, you need to find an equally compelling hard rule for yourself. That's it. So like looking through, like somebody said, my brain's just trying to protect me from something. But think about it. All of you want to have a compassionate, loving, and understanding relationship with your urges. And this is the story about the urges. This is not about the food. So a lot of you are still giving me thoughts about like thoughts that I can say to get me to not eat. That would be around your excuses. What I'm really looking at is if I came up to you off the street at any time and said, hey, I hear you're that woman in No BS who has urges. Tell me about that, that your story would change. Your story might be, oh, well, let me tell you about my urges. They start in my head. My mouth waters. My heart rate increases. It often happens around sweets. My normal habit and my normal feelings that typically I will have more urges over are sadness, loneliness, depression, and overwhelm. Like you're telling the story where somebody's like, I get it. I know when you have urges now. Most of you are not telling that story. Your story about urges are, yeah, they're uncontrollable. They're holding me back in my weight loss. I'm so afraid of them. I just don't think they're ever going to stop. Like your story is womp womp Eeyore. Your story is not like what a scientist would say. Your story isn't curated and created because you've been observing them and learning from them as much as you possibly can. And until y'all feel like urges are beneficial, that they are part of, they're just going to happen and you're going to take them just one at a time, that you're always going to learn from them. When you get to that stage, here's what I most commonly notice. Your ability to say no to urges increases because you do not have hopelessness and failure and overwhelm working. You've removed all of those feelings. You also have an easier chance of working with them because you don't have judgment and shame now. Because when you have a really good relationship with your urges, you also develop and cultivate a really good relationship for yourself when they occur and when you say yes to them. I promise all of you, the more we can teach you how to feel better, calmer, you don't need to feel amazing and motivated and jazzed up all the time. But most of you need to feel calm, at ease, observant, aware, willing. We need to get you in the middle. So let me show you this. And then if there's any other questions, y'all can put them in the chat or in the Q&A. Now is the time. If you have any urge-specific questions, throw them in the chat. Think of this as the feelings line. Most humans, call this line is neutral. Okay. We'll do it like a lane. Here's a lane. We're all traveling down neutral lane. Most of us, we're just going to go through life kind of here. Like we'll go up a little. We'll be like right here, just like happy, grateful, compassionate, understanding. We'll travel back down where we're here. We're like disappointed, a little sad. Like think about those feelings that are like not great, like a little bored. This is kind of where we want to be in life. But here's what most of us are doing. I want to be here. And if I'm not up here in motivation and elated land, then I'm down here in hopelessness, overwhelm, and failure. And then we wonder why we feel so crazy half the time. We really want to smooth ourselves out so that we're most of the time, we're just kind of rocking and rolling right above and right below. And then sometimes we have great things and sometimes we have these, but we're always, for me, I'm just like most of life is just filled with just like at the end of the day, I had moments where I enjoyed myself. I also had moments where I was just like, ugh, I don't want to do that. Just like this morning, I got up. I was excited about working on something. So I got up. I wasn't like running in here like a two-year-old, just running straight into my office with my hands waving in the air. But I came in here and I was looking forward to working on something that is brand new. Then I'd go to the gym. Then I switched to dread. I was like, oh, like, I wish I could just work on this. This is so interesting. This is more fun. And then I switched to a little bit of dread. And I was like, all right, just get your energy drink, get in the car. Let's just go. I felt willing. When I got to the gym about two exercises in, I started feeling proud. I started feeling strong. I was kind of going back up again. Then when I came home, guess what happened again? I got tired. I started thinking about all the call. I've got 5 hours of classes I'm teaching today. I was like, "Ooh, it's a lot of teaching." But what I didn't do is like go extremely high, extremely low all day and expect myself to be in those places. So I say all that because when it comes to urges, what we really want to do is just get them to where you have a story about them that's understanding, that makes sense, that's compassionate. When all of that's happening, then when they hit, you still have those feelings. Instead of when they hit, you feel hopeless, overwhelmed, out of control, and frustrated. All right, let's see. So I'm working on my urge to drink wine every evening using the program this month. I complete either a discovery worksheet or a successful urge sheet daily, depending on how it went the night before. Last night, I planned for one glass, but drank the entire bottle. So is what I need to figure out, why am I drinking a bottle of wine nightly? Exactly. Like what was, like look for the excuse number one that comes up. So you have an excuse after glass one is done. It's probably something like, I hate to let that bottle go to waste, or one more won't hurt. Look for the sexy talk that you have. So there is a lesson inside No BS that might help you. Let me see if I can find it. Yasmin posted it in here somewhere. Okay. It is the mastering mindless eating lesson. It is a quick hit. Oh, wait, no, it's not a quick hit. It's in the mindless eating lesson of Stalls and Plateaus. So Lisa, if you will go to the Stalls and Plateaus course and look for the mastering mindless eating lesson, it will help you. There's a method in there called pause plus permission. So when you are drinking, the first thing you want to do is you want to find that excuse that you have that gets you to drink more than one glass. And then you want to get to where you hear it so loud and clear that you can interject with what I call that pause plus permission, which is step two. And step two is where I think it's step two. I can't remember which step it is, but there's a step called pause plus permission. And what you want to do is you want to have now a thought out game plan for what you're going to do when you want that other glass. But the wrinkle that y'all need is the permission piece, which most of you are just like, well, here's what I'm going to do when I hear that thought from now on. I'm just going to tell myself no. If just telling yourself no worked, all of us would be thin. None of y'all would be here. We'd be done and dusted with weight loss. So it's not enough to just tell yourself no. What you have to do also is say, like, here's what I'm going to do to give myself a break so that my reasoning brain, the reasoning brain is the conscious part, can take a pause so that it can come online. When we're using excuses like, I don't want to waste a bottle or another one won't hurt or whatever, what happens in that moment is our habit brain is talking. That's our normal sexy talk. And that's fine. We don't want to have judgment over that. Those thoughts are probably never going away. Your brain catalogs everything. Unless you can somehow wipe your disk, you got your thoughts. All of us do. So what we want to do is we just want to get good at hearing it. And then we want to give ourselves something to do in that moment, while also giving ourselves permission that once we've allowed ourselves to take a break and we thought about it with our reasoning brain, not just our habit brain, if we still want it, we can have it, but we're no longer going to drink that extra glass of wine because of our habit brain. We will only be drinking now because we have made a conscious decision where we've weighed the pros and cons, where we've given ourselves like 3 minutes, 90 seconds, 5 minutes, whatever it is, to say like, all right, before you drink the extra glass, here's what I do want you to know. Tomorrow, you're likely to be disappointed. Tomorrow, you're going to have you're for sure going to have a hangover. You've tracked enough of the bottles of wine to know that this is what your next day looks like. Like for me, when I was, and this works with food, it also works with booze. One of the things that helped me gain so much authority was when I stayed out of the shame cycle. And every morning I would write about what I had to wake up to after either going to bed with too much food in my stomach or going to bed with too much wine in my belly. I would write about like, it's hard to shut your brain off on judgment. Like I knew that I was judging myself, but I could see like I opened myself up on those days for all of my judgment thoughts to come in. And that just means that before I can start my day, after I've drank or ate too much, I set myself up to do, you know, thought work. I have to, like, I know that I'm not going to be ashamed of it, but my automatic brain is. So I'll need to do thought work every single time to figure that out. The other thing, especially with eating too much food before I go to bed, I set myself up the next morning to wake up hungry. For me, if I eat like at 8 o'clock, I'm hungry by 6 a.m. Now, y'all, I get up at 4:30 most days, 4:35. I've been waking up at 4:15 lately. Oh, naturel. And then by 6, I'm hungry, but I don't like to eat before I work out. So I write about how, like, you know, you're going to have to, on those days, you're going to be hungry when you go to the gym, because I will always prioritize my workout. I want a good workout. I don't like throwing up. I have thrown up before working out too hard and haven't eaten breakfast. So I'm just like, I'm willing to be hungry and work out, but I don't like being hungry. So I set myself up there. If I've done the wine thing, I'm like, yep, today's one of those days where you'll have to work in your office. The lights are going to hurt your head. If y'all don't know, I got lights all around me. They're not fun. I set myself up to have to take Advil all day, which I don't like taking Advil. Like, I'm just really honest. So I have that conversation in that pause plus permission. When I tell the equal airtime story, both sides of the story, yes, having more to drink or having a snack, yes, that's probably going to feel fun right now. It's going to, like, I would unwind if I did it. All of that's true. I'm not going to argue with my brain, but that's not the only story. Here's the other side of the story. I don't allow myself to learn to unwind in other ways if I just keep drinking or eating. I wake up in the morning with all these things. I never like it then. I just kick the can down the road. So doing that is helpful. So try that and see if that helps in terms of that process, if that helps. The other thing is just, you know, continuing to work on your relationship with urges. Just make sure that your relationship with your urges is kind, is understanding. And that takes the temperature down when you experience them. A lot of you, the reason why you eat so fast when you feel an urge, it's not really because of the, like, it's the feelings underneath the urge where you're so worked up about it that you're trying to escape that. And that's why they happen so snap fast. So that's why we do all this work in our journals, is why we do all this work away from our urges, so that we start changing how we think about them, so that in the moments we create a whole different experience around them. Urges are generally are before my period thoughts. I think my thought is that's normal. My period is starting on Friday. I don't really have anything other than, yeah, it's hormonal. That's the relationship I would have with it, is like, yeah, it's normal. I have more. It's hormonal. They always come. Like, for me, I always know I'm going to want all carbs, no vegetables. And I love vegetables and meat, but not right around my period. I could turn fucking green, like green. So I make a plan for what I'm going to eat that resembles the kind of foods that I can tolerate during that time. Not a problem. You know, I never weighed 250 pounds because 2 or 3 days of my period, I wanted to eat. You know, I weighed 250 pounds because 2 or 3 days a week, I was doing that and blaming something every single time. If every time I'd been on my period, if I had just had a really well thought out plan and ate when I was hungry and stopped it enough, I would have never had a problem. Never. So make sure that you think about that. The other thing is just like, so what? So what if while you're on your period, you're going to crave chocolate, but you decide you don't want to have it? What's so funny to me is like, I go out into the world all the time and I crave cars and clothes, really good looking tatted tan men. I'm not just like, oh my God, I got an urge. I'm out of control. I'm not going to be able to say no. Like, we say no to urges all the time. I've used this example before, but this is me. I go to a store and if somebody is being a jackass, taking too long, I have the urge to be like, what the fuck's wrong with you? But I don't just like say everything that goes through my brain. We are always saying no to urges for things. Recognize you have the skill. But when you think you don't in one area, guess what happens? You're eating all the time. You're manifesting the very scenario that you think. Most of you probably have a thought of, I don't hit people or cuss people out in public that I don't know. Most of us, and if you do, great. But I'm just saying, like, you think about it, you have like certain rules, even though you know on occasion you want to do it. Like, seriously. Like, if somebody doesn't hold the door open for someone, I don't just go over there and say, like, well, you lazy bastard. Even though in my mind, like, if you're walking in the door, you should hold the door open for the person behind you. That's called nice. And even though I might have a little shady judgment, I don't just run up to them and be like, rude bastard. We all know how to control our impulses. Most of us wouldn't be here if we didn't. We'd all be in jail. We'd be under the jail. All right. I only give into my urges in private and have no problem when I'm with people. Would a planned urge help me unwind my secret urge binge like behavior? I tell my brain, no, we can have it later when we are alone. You need to, that's the problem. You're giving yourself the exact instruction you don't want. You're telling your brain, we can have this when we are alone. That's the thought you need to be catching. Every time you say that thought, you need to be like, oh, no, we're not going to have that when we are alone. If we want to have it, we're going to have it when we have planned it, where we can actually enjoy it, where there's no shame and there's no hiding. That's what we're going to be doing from now on. That's what we're going to be learning. That is what we want to be thinking about. So for you, Stephanie, I want you to catch that. That's the dangerous thought you've got. That's the one that you keep saying that's commanding you to continue to eat in secret. You just need to tell yourself, I don't want to eat in secret anymore. Here's what I want to do. Because when, like, here's the thing. I don't care if you eat by yourself. There's a difference between choosing to eat by yourself so that you can enjoy something and eating by yourself because you're afraid someone would see you. I eat by myself often because I actually want to enjoy it. I tell Chris all the time, like if it's lunch especially, the last thing I want is Chris or Logan in the room. And here's why. Because I really want to enjoy my meal and I don't want to be distracted and I want some Corinne time. That's enjoying. So I want you to start training yourself. Like, I want to build the kind of relationship with food where I can eat it, eat around people and myself. And it's intentional and it's kind. It's a gift to me. It's who I want to be. Now, to do that, what do I need to think? How many things do I need to put through the four ends? How many thoughts do I need to put through there over and over again so I can develop that relationship? And I think that will be very helpful. Okay, everyone, that's it for today. I will see y'all on Sunday where we're going to do urges, work, and coaching on after school, that overeating window, or after work. It's that urge window from when the day is done before dinner. All right, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.